B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Deep fried human hands and feet been discovered after a sex offender was caught fleeing the burgled home of a missing 70-year-old masseuse.
Do you know how unhealthy it is to deep fry stuff?
The defiled remains were found in bags behind a strip mall in Philadelphia on Saturday while detectives investigated the disappearance of Peter Gerlaud, who was reported missing last Wednesday. Investigators said the hands and feet are believed to belong to a man and also discovered a pair of legs which had not been deep fried. They were found after cops pulled over a U-Haul truck spotted fleeing Gerald's house last Thursday. The day after police performed a welfare check on the property, the truck's driver, who has not been named, said, "I don't want anything to do with this, and there's a body in the back."
You remember, I think you reported this last week, Preston.
Yeah, but I didn't hear about the deep-fried hands and feet.
No.
A search of the vehicle found other dismembered body parts in a trash bag. The truck's passenger, registered sex offender Taylor Herring, is said to have tipped police off about the deep-fried body parts during a subsequent interview. Forensic analysis is ongoing to try and determine who the remains belong to. Police said they told the Philadelphia Inquirer that it is too early to say if the body parts are connected to the burglary of Gerald's home or his disappearance. Officers were sent to check on the masseuse's home the day before but did not force entry to the property because nothing seemed to miss. Herring has so far been charged with burglary, abuse of a corpse, and evidence tampering. Deep fried hands and feet. That is
unbelievable. Wow. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
A Florida man stole an engagement ring from his girlfriend to use to propose to another woman, investigators said. Joseph Davis used fake names, including Joe Brown and Marcus Brown, when he met both women in 2015 and 2016 through the OkCupid dating app. Davis maintained relationships with a girlfriend in Orange City and a fiancé in Orlando. Detectives said neither woman knew his real name. Investigators said that the girlfriend discovered Davis was engaged to another woman when she looked her up on social media and saw that she was wearing a ring and wedding band that were similar to her own. When she checked her jewelry box, the rings, as well as the other items, were gone.
Son of a bitch!
The girlfriend contacted the fiancé and was able to get some of the jewelry back. Because of the infidelity, both women cooperated with each other and investigators.
There you go.
The fiance said that she was also fooled.
A woman scorned, right?
By Davis, yep. At one point, he took her to his girlfriend's house while she was at work. He claimed that the house was his and asked her to move in with him. The fiance said that she started packing her belongings and taking apart her furniture before he told her that the deal had fallen through.
I'm taking my furniture apart.
She said a laptop and jewelry were also missing from her apartment after Davis moved out and disappeared. The women were able to track him down through an address that they were given from a woman who was supposedly his niece in North Carolina. Authorities contacted that woman, who turned out to be Davis's sister.
Oh, man.
Investigators said Davis was convicted of felonies in Oregon and North Carolina, and he currently has an active arrest warrant in Oregon for a hit-and-run crash with injury.
I don't know how these guys don't die of exhaustion carrying on multiple relationships.
I don't know.
Well, one is enough.
Yep. Listen to this genius. The mayor of the West Texas town of Colorado City resigned after posting a Facebook screed on Tuesday in which he refused to help people deal with the snowstorm and said that they were weak for asking for water and electricity. So, this is in Texas. These people have, on the most rarest of occasions, I've ever had to deal with this. They're not prepared for it, and it wreaks havoc, you know, when you get this type of a snowstorm.
He must be running for re-election.
Listen to this. So he wrote this.
Yeah,
he posted this on Facebook. His name is Tim Boyd. He wrote, "No one owes you or your family anything, nor is it the local government's responsibility to support you during trying times like this. Sink or swim, it's your choice. The city and county, along with power providers or anything or any other service, owes you Nothing. And he wrote that in all caps. Ooh. He wrote nothing in all caps.
Yikes. I would argue that it's exactly what the government is there for in times of crisis like this, to step in and assist.
Millions of people throughout Texas were still without power on Tuesday after the state was covered with record snowfall over the weekend and into Monday. Not that Boyd, theoretically charged with helping the people of the 4,000-person town 250 miles west of Dallas, cared. He wrote, if you don't have electricity, you step up and come up with a game plan to keep your family warm and safe. If you have no water, you deal without and think outside of the box to survive and supply water to your family. Only the strong will survive and the weak will perish. He wrote this.
And then wow. At the bottom, he promoted a fundraiser that he's holding at the hotel on the weekend. I don't think he has a long political career.
He later wrote a follow-up post claiming that he'd resigned back on February 12th. Okay. He was still listed as mayor on the city's website on Tuesday night, though. He said, I won't deny for 1 minute what I said in my post this morning. I was speaking as a citizen. I am not the mayor anymore. I apologize for the wording and ask you to please not harass myself or my family anymore. Gosh. In the follow-up, Boyd also said that his wife lost her job for defending his Darwinian post. Tuesday afternoon, Colorado City shared an official Facebook post warning residents to boil their water prior to using it.
Boyd, a people person.
And the post was met with a flurry of sarcastic comments. One wrote, what sort of place has Texas become, I ask you, where government feels it has some sort of obligation to society and people at large? And one commenter wrote, I say drink and let the strong survive. Oh, my God. All right, and then one last story. Authorities say a 73-year-old woman was injured in a shooting during a home invasion and robbery early Saturday morning, and a 12-year-old suspect at the home shot one of the suspects.
Wow.
The 12-year-old wasn't a suspect. The 12-year-old was at the home, shot one of the suspects who later died. Officers responded just before 1 a.m. and located the woman suffering a gunshot wound. She was transported to the hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries and is listed in stable condition. Authorities say two masked suspects forced their way into the home, demanded money, subsequently shot the 73-year-old woman.
Jeez.
A 12-year-old suspect who lives in the home fired gunshots at suspects, injuring one and causing them to flee. The suspect who had been shot was taken to the hospital, and he was pronounced dead.
So just to clarify, you said 12-year-old suspect, but
I didn't mean suspect. Okay. Yeah, I took that back. He wasn't a suspect. Right. He was a resident. He was identified. The one who was killed was Halil Herring, who was only 19 years old. It's unclear what happened to the second suspect, but an investigation is underway. No charges are expected to be filed against the 12-year-old.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
A group of thieves in Colombia ran for their lives after a 14-year-old girl pulled out a machete and fought them off.
14 years old.
Yeah, grainy video footage of the incident in Bogota starts out ominously. Two men wearing motorcycle helmets enter a small family convenience store, followed by a third who attempts to pull down the rolling metal door behind them in an attempt to lock themselves inside with a mother, daughter, and a toddler behind the cash register. When one of the men approaches the side door of the small kiosk where the women are sitting and opens the latch, the mother and daughter spring into action. The mother rushes head-on into the attackers, and her 14-year-old daughter picks up a machete and begins chopping at the armed robbers.
Jesus. Well, you can see in the video, too, the toddler puts on brass knuckles.
The men quickly retreat as the teenager unleashes a flurry of slices, avoiding hitting her mother.
Wow.
In an interview, the anonymous girl explained that it wasn't the first nor the second time that this has happened. She said, so I already had it in mind.
Yeah.
And if something happened, I'd get the machete and I'd get them.
You can tell they were prepared.
The daughter said that she'd heard them shouting, let's go, let's go. We can't do it here. The men escaped the scene, and it's unclear how much damage they received from the machete-wielding teenager. Regardless, they know now that what is waiting for them if they ever come back to that shop again.
Let's cross that one off the list.
Yes. Reporters and police sprinted for safety as a group of caged bears went on the attack moments after being released into the wild. The chaotic scene was captured in dramatic pictures of a wildlife conservation project in northern Iraq.
We're here. We're bears. That should be enough.
Six Syrian brown bears, some said to have been rescued from people's homes, were taken from towns in the south to their new home in the Gara Mountains.
People keeping bears in their home?
I guess. Steel cages were lined up on a wall, surrounded by a large crowd of cameramen, armed security guards, and onlookers. Moments after the cages were opened, the panic bears started charging toward the crowd.
Well, that didn't work out.
Terrified spectators were pictured running to escape the beast as the release ceremony descended into chaos. It's not clear just yet if anybody was injured. But the bears eventually wandered off into the snowy landscape.
We did everything right. We brought the bears to a kinder care and then released them.
Close to the border with Turkey, the American Kurdish Association released the bears as part of a scheme to save the near-extinct species from vanishing in its natural habitat. Wherever this is, Warren, I'm not sure what state this is in, but Warren police say that they are investigating after two incidents involving a man pooping inside of vehicles.
You can't do that. Well, yeah, I guess you can do that, but you shouldn't do that.
You shouldn't do that. Police say the first incident occurred shortly after midnight at Friendly Auto when the suspect defecated into a 2009 Chrysler Town and Country. The second incident happened at Twins Tire on February 3rd at 5:13 a.m. Surveillance video shows the man leaving his vehicle, walking over to a white van, opening up the driver's side door, and squatting down. Police say the
service... You know, that's a good pooping vehicle. I might look into this.
The service center cleaned the vehicle at no cost to the owner.
Could you imagine that?
Police are asking for the public's help for any additional information regarding the suspect.
When I purchase a car, I've never purchased it based on assuming at one point I'll have to take a dump in it.
No, I have not either. But you know what?
Maybe that's something to consider.
Yeah. Naples, Florida police arrested a drunk man who was causing a public disturbance. An officer found John S. Forspaniak making sexual gestures toward a glass door of a building. He was extremely intoxicated, sweating, and slurring his words. While speaking with Forspaniak, officers were contacted by an off-duty officer who had already had an encounter with the drunk man, who was flirting with a door.
Was he flirting with his own image in the door?
I don't know.
Or is he just like the door?
The officer said Forspaniak...
Where did you come from?
...walked up to him and his family while taking a karate stance for no apparent reason.
Wow. It's like a cat seeing the reflection in a mirror.
When they tried to walk away, he followed, being aggressive. Forspaniak hid in an alley and jumped out at people trying to scare them. When EMS arrived to evaluate him, he was aggressive toward them as well. He was using obscene language and making unreasonable noise.
In front of the door?
Yeah, I guess so. He was charged with disorderly intoxication, public disturbance. For whatever, he had a reason for whatever.
The door later identified him in a lineup.
This is terrible. An 83-year-old man drowned at a golf course in Florida.
In the water trap?
In a pond, yeah. So the individual had entered a pond to try and retrieve a hat while playing around at the Wycliffe Golf and Country Club. And at some point, the man started to thrash around and went underwater. The man was playing golf with three other people.
And no one jumped in?
Well, one golfer near the scene attempted to rescue him, but there was no success. And they found him about 15 to 20 feet from the bank. So I'm guessing they were elderly as well, possibly. I don't know.
How deep are those things routinely?
Not that deep. I guess it depends.
You could wade out into those, right? They're not 50 feet deep.
Some might go...
Was the last time you saw a submarine surface in one of those?
More than 6 feet deep or something like that. But, you know, I guess it must have been pretty murky because they couldn't find it. But, yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's tragic.
Yeah. Something nicer.
Yeah, please.
A pair of former classmates in Indiana who reconnected decades later on Facebook made a shocking discovery. They are long-lost twin siblings.
Wow.
Karen Warner said that she found out her biological mother. She found her mother's biological name a few years ago when Indiana had unsealed adoption records, and the discovery came with a surprise that she had a twin brother. Warner said she sought help from various adoption websites to try and find her long-lost brother. Said everybody kept coming up with nothing because we didn't have a name to go by or anything. Warner said the big break came when she obtained local voting records with a list of three men who shared her birth date. The third name on the list, a guy named Mike Jackman, stood out because he was a high school classmate who she had only very recently reconnected with on Facebook.
So she had no idea this person she'd reconnected with was her twin brother.
Warner said...
Were pictures exchanged?
Yeah, but it's...
You look like being dragged.
Warner said Jackman, a Facebook message sent him saying that they might be twin siblings. And the pair had a DNA test performed that confirmed their connection. And they said now that they talk almost every day.
They don't like each other.
And get together several times a week.
So that's pretty wild.
That's pretty nice. There you go. That's what I have in the Bizarre File for you.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.